The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And a big welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. We are a network of several stations around the Central Florida to North Central Florida area, and including the Gainesville Market, Ocala, the Villages, and Orlando. We're glad to have you along with us. My guest today in the studio is an old friend. I've known Bob now for a number of years. We worked together in Gainesville. He at First Presbyterian, and I was a part of the staff at Abundant Grace back then, and a real strong sense of friendship and working together among pastors in Gainesville. Got to know this man. We've been together for events up there like the National Day of Prayer, where, Bob, I tell you what, let me just finish welcoming you in. This is Bob Shetler from Gainesville. Welcome back, Bob.
Thanks, Mike. It's always a joy not only to be on the air with you, but just to be re-engaged as brothers in Christ and friends over the years.
It's so good. Every time I'm with you, I have fond memories of the times we spent together. I'm thinking back right in this moment to that. Well, it was one of those good plans on paper, Bob, when we were going to have this big worship service at the Bo Diddley Plaza, downtown Gainesville, outdoor, beautiful. And we were all set up, and then a rainstorm came.
It did. And it
came up suddenly. And we thought we were going to get it in. They told us we were going to be able to get it in. We did all the rental of all that sound gear. It was all set up. We were within an hour of the start of the prayer meeting for the National Day of Prayer, and the sky opened. And you were so gracious that on the moment of that, just making a quick decision, opening up the doors at First Pres, and I was shocked at how many people stayed with us that night, but we had a tremendous crowd at that second venue, if you will, that was for us because of the weather. We had a great time.
It was wonderful because our church was close to Bo Diddley geographically, and we had a chance to bring in just a true body of Christ in Gainesville at that time. Not a name of a local church, not a name of First Pres or Abundant Grace, but the church, the one church of Jesus Christ in Gainesville. They came together and worshiped across many, many supposed barriers in our world today when it comes to worship. And it was a wonderful experience.
It's always been my great delight when I was a part of the Gainesville community to see the pastors really have a wonderful, very special thing going on there that it's really different than a lot of communities, and that is a working together, even on the worship team that we had that night, that as you opened the doors on the worship team that I was part of, we had a number of churches from all different walks of life. There were people there from some of the churches that would have been led by African Americans. There were churches that were Baptist churches, there were Presbyterian churches, non-denominational churches. We had a number of people, and we worshiped together in one of the most beautiful nights of harmony and unity. And I'll tell you, that's just an amazing thing.
And they're still working on that. In these days, they still have that Pastors Association, and it's led by Alex Farmer, and he's doing a great job as the new president of that organization.
Well, tell them I said hello, if you will.
I will.
I miss my Gainesville friends right now. I'm going through one of those times of severely missing all of my Gainesville friends. So we're going to have to get back up there soon and say hello to everybody. But it is great having you here. Bob, when you were with me several months back, we were talking that day about some of the things that you have been involved with. You are leading an effort, number one, to get the gospel into colleges and with students. And we had Dan Dupuy on, and you're still a part of that organization as well.
Coalition for Christian Outreach.
That's it. CCO.
CCO.
And I enjoyed my talk with Dan so much. You're just a very, very busy guy. You retired, but you didn't retire any more than I retired when I retired.
Right. Well, you know, Mike, I've always been told retirement is not a biblical word. And my wife says, how much longer are you going to do this? I said, as long as I have the ability and the energy and nobody's walking around saying, can we get the guy out of here? You know, try to be effective with the gifts that God's given me, just like you,
Well, I want to do that. That is my goal. And as long as the Lord allows, I'm just privileged to have this pulpit, if you will. This is a different type of pulpit than I ever dreamed I would have. I was in radio and television for years before going into ministry. I never dreamed that there would be a way to combine the work of the gospel back with what was my first love in business as a profession was in radio. And yet that's what God does, and that's what he's doing with you, because you love to teach, and you're a gifted teacher, a gifted leader, and you're here today. You're talking about something that I'm excited to hear more about, the Florida Leadership Center. Tell us about that.
The Florida Leadership Center was birthed early in 2020, somewhere around when COVID hit. We were trying to launch this. Part of it was we had many ministries in Gainesville for college students and for community things that we've already mentioned. And as I left First Presbyterian Church, I had no place really to house that. Some of the people have been with us for 6 or 7 years, all the way back to Veritas Forum and John Lennox being with us in 2015, said, what are we going to do? How can we house these things? And so we developed this nonprofit, the Florida Leadership Center. And our goal is basically to create leaders that multiply. And we do that. The Florida Leadership Center exists to develop and deploy a generation of leaders to transform the world for the glory of God. And we want to speak into the seven sectors that the National Day of Prayer deals with, and that is the body of Christ, family, government, business, education, healthcare, arts and entertainment. And our goal is to speak into the Gainesville community, which has all of those in very vivid ways, and to find influencers in those areas who are of Christian faith to say, this is how I live out my faith in this area that I am working in, that my discipline is in, that I spend my life in. And then we would like to see, you know, discipleship group for new believers. I teach a discipleship group for seasoned believers called Foundations in Faith, and how to develop you in the area of discipleship, studying the Word, spiritual formations, evangelism, apologetics, and the new area that the church has really become popular with called FWE, Faith, Work, and Economics. And you hear that from Made to Flourish, or Tim Keller has a group on this, and we're finding how can we speak into not only our faith, but our work, and how does that impact the economics of our community?
I had Charlie Fitzgerald on the program yesterday, and Charlie was talking, and he and I were talking about that finance side. And, you know, there's a lot of young people today who are kind of coming back to the Lord, and I think they're getting maybe awakened to some of these things that we're talking about. There's a big need for young people to know that last leg of what you were talking about there, of being prepared. And I think there have been generations in the past that just did not give any training at all in that area about finances. And
I think it's been very lacking. I don't think they even prepare pastors to help do that with their own churches and their own lives. And what we want to do, Mike, with the Florida Leadership Center is Gainesville to be the hub. And we want this to go global. In other words, we want to find similar communities who have the same type of value, a group of people who say, we want to do this in our community. How can we duplicate this? And that's one of our goals. We believe there's a place for big events, the multitude. We believe that there's the calling of the 120 or the 70, whichever way you look at it scripturally. We believe there's a place to disciple the 12. But we also think there's a place for the three, the inner circle, that we continue to develop people in discipleship, that they will multiply this in other people's lives. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Go you there and make disciples. And that is our key thing. How can we make disciples of Jesus Christ and those leaders who will multiply and make disciples of others.
Now, without a doubt, this process of discipleship is one of the most important keys. I mean, you've given us the verse right there that Jesus gave when he, in one of those parting words,
right,
basically sends out his disciples. He was the model. He did it for 3 years on this earth, walking with these guys, teaching them, them being a part, not just observing, but actually doing a lot of work themselves in the ministry. Hands-on training. What to a person that comes up to you and they say, what is this thing about discipleship? A person in our generation, in our culture that doesn't know anything about discipleship, what do you tell them? And I think that'd be helpful for us to hear a fresh explanation as to what, how a person can disciple another person in 2021.
Well, I think we still go back to the model of Jesus. And, you know, he spent 3 years, and these 12 men basically followed him everywhere. They lived with him, if you want to put it in that context. And I believe what you do is you find people who want to learn, because disciple means learner.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we want to learn about Jesus Christ. I don't want to disciple them about Bob. I don't think you want to disciple people about Mike. We want to disciple people into Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we teach them what we have learned and what Jesus taught us through the scriptures. And I believe it's just a matter of walking together, living together, learning together. It's not just theology, or it's not just theory. It's also praxis. How do I take this into my daily living? And I believe that's where the faith, work, and economics comes in so strongly, is how do I take what I'm learning over here in Scripture and in my spiritual formations, and how to share my faith with others, how to defend my faith and apologetics, to bring it into everyday living, everyday walking. And that's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't have Camp Jesus all the time and go off and just have a retreat. They did that. But they also walked the streets of his day and time, and they met people exactly where they were, and he brought them along. And the key words, I think, for us to understand discipleship is follow Jesus. Or as Jesus said to some of the first disciples in John chapter 1, he says, when they said, where do you stay? And he said to them, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he was saying, come and live with me.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't care if he was at the Holiday Inn or, you know, down at the Airbnb, but they wanted to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a key piece. We spend time with him.
And that commitment that the Lord made by that changed these guys so to the point that they were called the men that turned the world upside down. And that was done in a day. This is always, I always come back to this. That was done in a day when you talk about lo-fi tech. They did not have anything like what we had. There were no cell phones. There were no televisions. There was no radio. They did all of this with one-on-one communication, very limited, even printing abilities, if any, except those that would be hand-copied over. And think about the fact that this thing called discipleship was so amazingly impactful that it turned the world upside down, and it just basically upset the entire Roman Empire.
It did. And I think, you know, a couple of things, Mike, real quick. One is Jesus had no other plan than these 12 guys. That's almost unheard of. The other piece is they weren't the real educated, the highest society. They were just regular people.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that. The other thing we learn from that passage in John is from John the Baptist, when he says, you know, I must decrease and he must increase. So a phrase I like to use when we're discipling people is, we want to be discipled by people who point us to Jesus. Not to a church, not to an institution, not to an individual, but to Jesus mm-hmm. first. The church is important, don't misunderstand me. But we cannot point people to ourselves. It must be to Jesus Christ.
That is a powerful difference. And yet we live in a day where a lot of people's experience, and I would even go so far as to say, I do believe this is true, Bob, a lot of their judgment about what the church isn't or is has come because of the fact that their experience with God, their experience about the Bible, their experience, especially when it comes to the church, has been basically a bad one because of people who did this thing wrongly. They built the church around their strong personality, or we had leaders that would fall in some instances. We've had whole groups of churches that fell to scandal. And, you know, it's just sad when all of this is built around an individual and that individual would fall. And that's, you know, the word of God is still strong, even if the people who carry the word are weak.
Well, I think too, Mike, I think your point is very, very good. And another point I would make with that is you and I probably have experienced the glory of the church, and we've probably experienced some other parts of the church that aren't so glorious. And what I always come back to is the fact when Jesus said, "It is my church, and I will defend it because the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will lead it, and it will move forward." In spite of our humanness, even the 12 weren't perfect. They still had their faults. They still had their doubts at times, but they were the ones who changed the world. We have to come back to that model of saying we are people of Jesus Christ, and the church is one way we express that, even though it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It is still the church of Jesus Christ.
And I think if we keep that in our mind, it's not only going to bring peace to our hearts, but it keeps the mission focused on where the center of that mission needs to be, not on our plans, not on my church, my individual local church, but upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, and he is the center. He's the Lord of the church.
He's the head of the church. If you go back and study what Paul wrote for us, yes, Jesus Christ, the head.
My guest today is Bob Shedler. I'm going to tell you that this guy is a guy who loves Jesus, and I'm grateful for him. He is a man who represents the Lord in a marvelous way, and I'm grateful to call him my friend. And we're going to learn more about the Florida Leadership Center from Bob in just a moment when we return. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. It's my joy today to have Bob Shedler from Gainesville. He's in our studios today, and it is always a good day when I'm around Bob Shedler. This is a man, as we talked about in the last segment, that loves the Lord. He finished out, I guess it was in 2019, a tenure in Gainesville, but he's also been a pastor in years previous in a couple of places in Orlando at what was known then as College Park Baptist. I think it's called
Church
on the Drive now. And also at First Pres under our good friend Dave Swanson, who Dave just thinks the world of Bob, and rightly so, as do I. So it's great having Bob back. Bob is the founding executive director of this new work, and it's exciting to see what God could do with this, the Florida Leadership Center. And starting off, it is based in Gainesville, and the dream, as he shared, is for this thing to become a part of communities around the world, really. It could go global. And that's because our work that the Lord has given us to do is to be one that we go out into the world. And so there aren't too many limitations about that one. So, Bob, as you think about that, I know that you've been in ministry a long time, have made a lot of friends with names, people would recognize some of the ministries that you work with and are in contact with. You mentioned John Lennox, and that Veritas program was something very special, wasn't it?
It was. John is a personal friend, and you know, I've just loved the experience I've had of being with John over the years. And unfortunately for COVID, I can't go back. My wife says I go over there and live, but John and I met at Oxford. Through a friend of yours and mine, through Luther Whitlock.
Oh, my goodness.
Luther introduced me to John, and so I've had the chance to be with him in several occasions in Oxford, and he was in Gainesville twice, and then he also spoke at First Pres here in Orlando a few years ago, and I had a chance to be with Luther and Mary Lou and my wife Connie and John. We all came together and had that time to be together.
What a delight it was when Luther was up here in the studios and I got to have him on my show, and what a man of God he is, and just love that guy so much. Well, so tell us some of the things that these and how these relationships how that your heart for taking the gospel out into not only Gainesville, but beyond. How is all of this coming together? What are you guys doing in the foreseeable future?
Well, what we're doing on March the 4th is that we are having a Zoom, like everybody is Zooming, and they may be Zoomed out, but that is that is the way we're going to do it. We are going to broadcast. Oz is going to be in Virginia. I will be in Gainesville, and we're going to do our first of the Global Leadership Series. It's coming out March the 4th, 7 p.m. on a webinar on Zoom, and the title is going to be 1776 and 1789, Two Revolutions and America's Current Crisis. And Oz is going to speak at the core of how America was developed and maybe how we've shifted away from some of that and where we are in our world. The thing I like about Oz is he's a writer. He's he's a speaker. He's from England.
And we're talking about Oz Guinness.
Oz Guinness. He's speaking from the outside, not the inside. And he's looking at America and saying, look, this is where we've maybe gotten off track with where we started.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be political. It's going to be at the core of what we're doing. So I want people to know that. We're not here for a political stance on something. We're trying to help people understand maybe some of the shifts that have happened on the foundation of where we come as Americans. And we're going to do this on a Zoom. And if you have a desire to register, you can go to www.floridaleadershipcenter.org.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
It's easy. And you can find a place to sign in. He will do a 20 to 30 minute presentation, and then we'll have some Q&A for Oz to be with us. Most people know Oz Guinness from the book called The Call, which is 20-something years old. And that's where I first heard of Oz. And then I had the chance of being with him at Oxford University at a dinner one night. It was John Lennox and Oz and some other people, and I thought the best thing for me to do is not to talk, because I won't show my ignorance at that point in front of these individuals.
All right.
But it was a wonderful time. And then Oz and I were together in Gainesville 2 years ago, and he said, I want to help you with whatever you're doing. So I sent him the information about the goal of the Florida Leadership Center, and he says, I want to help you.
This is so exciting, very exciting. And, you know, this whole thing, you're right, Bob, Zooming has become wouldn't you like to have been the person that came up with that technology?
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing all right, I would think. But I'm so grateful for the fact that even in a time of a pandemic, that has not slowed getting together down, at least not completely. And this has proven to be an amazingly effective way of communicating as we could have possibly imagined, apart from just being together in the same room and being with a person face to face. So this is something that I think you're right. People are used to, people are doing it, and it's quite effective.
Yeah, we're using the webinar side of Zoom to do this. And what I like about it, a couple of things, and this sounds kind of crazy maybe, but one is it broadens the base. If Oz was in Gainesville, that would be kind of the base of what you could go to.
Mm-hmm.
But people can be all over the world for this. The second thing in the world we live in, it's actually more economical. For us to be where we are and not spend time traveling back and forth and doing all those things you do when you bring somebody in. So it provides a way for us to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. So Oz is the first one on our series. And we haven't gone too far, but his first one's March the 4th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The second one that we're working on that we have a commitment to is from a lady by the name of Ruth Haley Barton. Ruth is known for her development of the nonprofit called the Transforming Center in Wheaton, Illinois. Ruth is a doctorate of theology. She started this Transforming Center after she was on the staff at Willow Creek Church, and they do what they call transforming communities, and she has developed a depth of ministry around what is known as sacred rhythms our spiritual formations. And I studied with her for almost 2.5 years, where you would go every month for a 3-day retreat. You had 9 retreats. Every quarter, you would go for a 3-day retreat. You had 9 retreats, and you studied everything from your desire in your spiritual life to silence and solitude, to Lectio Divina, to rule of life, to body and soul. And Ruth has really written a lot of books around this. Her best book, in my opinion, is called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And Ruth is going to speak into strengthening the soul of your leadership during these turbulent times that we're facing today.
Ah, so good.
And her topic will be shared on the same type of format through the Zoom webinar on April the 15th at 7 p.m. So here's a little tip for you. Get your taxes done so you can listen to Ruth on April the 15th at 7 p.m.
Tax day.
Yes.
That's funny. Now, when you think about that title, the musician in me hears the word rhythms, and you're thinking music. This is not the kind of rhythm we're talking about.
No.
It is getting into a good rhythm of living, and all of these different components that you've mentioned all really do bring about that peace that we were talking about in segment one, that kind of living in a way that you're doing what you need to be doing. And would that be a fair depiction of that?
I think it's a very fair depiction. I would go a step further by saying that it again goes back to the discipleship piece we were talking about. Jesus had these rhythms in his life. Okay, what did he do? You find in Mark 1, he healed people late into the night. And then the next morning, he went out early to be in a solitary place with the Father.
Okay? Didn't sleep in.
Or if you go to Luke 6, before he chose the 12 apostles from the disciples he had at that time, it says he spent the night praying. He went down and chose the 12. And then it says he went to a level place and he had compassion on those around him who needed to be healed. So Jesus set the example. He also set the example of having the Sabbath, a time when we put aside everything else and we focus on God. We worship him. And we've gotten away from the Sabbath in our worlds these days because the Sabbath is busy with everything, everything but church sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, have silence and solitude. Spend time in the scriptures, because you know he knew the scriptures because he got up and read from Isaiah about himself when he was at the tabernacle. And he said, look, here I am to proclaim the good news. And so he knew the scriptures. And one of the things that we go in with sacred rhythms is Lectio Divina. How do I read the scriptures, not to teach someone, but for me to grow? And he spent time with the Father. He spent time in solitude. He spent time with the Sabbath. All of these rhythms are something that he taught us.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth brings these, as other leaders in our world today, but she brings these and say, look, if you're going to be a strong leader, no matter what field you're in, you have to have a strong soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to strengthen your soul so that you'll be a stronger leader.
You know, isn't it something, Bob, that all of us, and I don't care whether they are us as pastors, because I know plenty of pastors who would agree with me on this. It certainly was my experience when I was a pastor. To people who are workers and attend a church, we are guilty of doing the same thing, and that is depending upon ourselves more than we should, and really not valuing that very thing of FaceTime that you're talking about, time in the Word. That being, I love that. You could call it a habit if you wanted to call it. You could call it being disciplined, and it's the same thing. But having a rhythm of a daily time with the Lord makes for a different way of living that is much more at peace, much more full, I believe, much more in line with God's Word, just because of our FaceTime with the Lord.
Yeah, and that's a new term, because FaceTime is something that's been around for a while, but it's time with the Lord. And one of the things we look at is the time in the morning to prepare for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as a musician, you know, if you're going to prepare to sing, you're going to tune up your guitar and you're going to be ready. You don't do it. You don't tune up after you sing. You tune up before.
That's right.
Okay, right?
A little later on.
That's right. Same in our spiritual life. We should tune up for the day. But then you come to another spiritual rhythm called the examen, and that is where you examine the day. And what we try to look at in that is, what are the things in the day where I see consolation and desolation? Consolation would be the things that bring life to me, okay? And desolation would be the things that take life away from me.
Hmm.
And all of us have those. No matter what job you have, there are things that you get up in the morning to go do that. But every job has some of those things you're thinking, do I really have to do that? And so where do you learn to separate those? And at the end of the day, we review, where did I really see life breathed into me? And where did I really see God in this day? Mm-hmm. And then where did I not really live up to what God wanted me to do in this day? And what it is, it's an examination. It's like going back and looking at the film after a football game and saying, hey, that was a good play, but we need to work on this one a little better. And we all have those in our spiritual mm-hmm. life.
Yes, we do.
We all are step-by-step growing and maturing each day, and we have a need to take a look at the day and say, where did I shine for the Lord? And where do I need to improve on my bringing glory to him?
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the Lord instructs us with that to cast our care on him and for us to take his burden and his yoke, because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. And yet we so often, it's so easy to just get that backwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, to pick up what we think is, oh, I've got to do it. I've got to honor God by doing whatever it is that I've got on my plate for that day. And we need to do that examination of the heart. And, you know, because it's true, isn't it? The Bible teaches us that sufficient are the problems of the day. So we do well to look at today and think, what's coming up today yes. that I need to do?
Yeah, I love the passage. Matthew 11, you just quoted, I think it's Matthew 11, 28 and following, where Jesus says, come to me, you are weary and heavy laden, mm-hmm. and I will give you rest. And see, if you take that word rest, it goes back to the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sabbath is a day that we are to rest. In the Christian context, it's Sunday. We talk about Sunday being the Lord's day. That's when he resurrected. But I think there are also many, M-I-N-I, Sabbaths that we need to take. And that is where we find a way. I used to find before our session meetings sometimes just to prepare my mind for a very important meeting where the church leaders were going to make important decisions, to spend time in solitude and silence and say, Lord, just guide me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing we need to take a Sabbath from is from media. Turn mm-hmm. our phones off. Turn our laptop computers or our iPads or whatever it may be.
I couldn't agree more.
And we need to have a media Sabbath, because I see that. And, you know, Pascal said the problem with all of us is that we cannot sit alone in our own room by ourselves. Well, I see that every day with my grandkids who want to have these instruments all around them. And you know what? I'm guilty too. And I think that the term we came up with many years ago is sometimes we have to power down.
Mm-hmm.
To power up.
Wow.
And what we need to do is power off of these things that are important to our life. Don't misunderstand me. We all use them and we need them, but we also need the Lord even more. And so when we turn those off and begin to focus on him, I even catch myself using my Bible on my iPhone, and I even think, I shouldn't even do that. I should go back to old school and get the Bible out, and that way I'm not tempted to check that email or hear that text that just came in, or whatever. But power those things down so I can have time to power up with the Lord in separation of a Sabbath from all of that.
My friend, in the words of my old pastor, that will preach. Power down to power up. I think you just came up with the title of your next book, Bob.
Yeah, right.
That's very good, and that's wonderful advice. My guest today is Robert Shetler, Bob Shetler, and he is here today representing the Florida Leadership Center. We've heard a couple of wonderful things that are just around the corner, one of them next week. And one in April. We'll hear more from Bob Shetler coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you are in tune to The Shepherd. Back one more time with Bob Shetler, and Bob is with the Florida Leadership Center. I so enjoy talking about this issue. It's so needed, the issue of discipleship. That's something that I know that is on Bob's heart. It's something that it was on the Lord's heart. It's something that we all need to be really focusing our time and really answering that question. Am I doing what the Lord would have me to do in discipleship? Am I a disciple? Am I discipling anybody else?
That's a good question, Mike. And one of the things we're trying to do is we have a term called the minimal viable disciple. In other words, what are the basic things I must have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And in the Florida Leadership Center, Mason Alley has helped me with this, and we have a couple of different versions of it. But quickly, the three main points of this, finding the basics I need to be a disciple, are we categorize in three areas: my identity, my practices, and my growth. In identity, we might come back and say, you know, I identify with the great commandment. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. I identify with the great commission that we've already talked about. Jesus said, make disciples. And I look at it this way. In my identity, I look at it this way. I think the first thing we have to come to as a disciple of Jesus Christ is understand how loved we are. And the way John phrased it, he never called himself John, the Gospel of John. He always said the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I want to be in that category, okay? And we find out how much he loves us. Then we know that we can live under his lordship, because nothing he will do in our lives will be in opposition to that love for us. And then we say we become a learner, because if I want to be under his lordship, I want to learn all about him. And then we move forward and we become what? A leader. And that's our identity. And then if we look at practices, we go back to what we've already talked about in the last segment, and that is the spiritual or sacred rhythms. How do I spend time in prayer, in the Word? Where do I spend time in worship in the body of Christ? And I know it's hard these days, but let me tell you this. The Florida Leadership Center has no desire to become a church or to replace your church. We want to come along beside the church to help your leaders within your church to be discipled even better. And so how do I do that? Through giving and serving. And then the last one is, am I growing? And in the great passage on growth that we focus on the most is John 15. It says, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. And without being connected to me, you will not produce fruit. And fruit is a result of my being connected, going back to our practices. And then I grow by what? Producing fruit, other people's lives, the fruit of the Spirit within my life, and how I grow by becoming this person that God wants me to be, maturing in my faith.
Now, these are all deep things, and these are all straight out of the Bible. I mean, straight out of the parables that Jesus taught his disciples. And yet, as we hear these things, it is in this day and age, I find that so many people are not, those things are not top of mind. And really what you're saying is to use the very Word of God and the kind of teaching that the Florida Learning Center is going to be able to offer people is going to help make what are really critical disciplines in our life. These are the spiritual disciplines. That's one way we could say that.
Right.
That's kind of another way of expressing the rhythms that we need to have in our life. These are disciplines that need to be not just a once a year reflection. This is not something to do on January 1 when you're setting your resolutions for the year, because we all know resolutions last, what, until about January 2, maybe, if we're lucky, maybe February 1, and then by then they can fall by the wayside. But anything that becomes a rhythm in our life, anything that's added to our life as a discipline, it's there. Now, I love this one thought about the definition of a disciple. And you're right. I've heard it said that that is a learner, but I've also heard this other phrase that goes along with it, a learner under discipline.
Right.
And that's really the complete picture, because a disciple is not going to be somebody that only does what he sees in his right mind. That's there's no discipline in that. I've been reading through the Old Testament, Bob, and so often you read this phrase that they did, especially in the book of Judges, everybody did what seemed right in their eyes. They did it whatever they wanted to do. And no one's ever going to win any accolades from the Lord by living that way. That's not going to work.
Well, you know, and I think I like the idea of resolutions being off the table. And you know what I put in place of that? I would come back again to that John 1 passage. When they're walking by and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See, that was his invitation to salvation to me. Hey, wait a minute. Here's the guy that I've been telling you about. He's here. And then Jesus sees these disciples. And actually, at this point, I think it's Andrew and Peter. I think that's right. Don't hold me to that. And so what he says, what Jesus says to them, he turns and says, what are you seeking? And you can translate that into, what do you desire? And see, I think the desires of our heart are more important to say, I want to make a resolution. Because if that desire is in my heart, it's going to be deeper than a resolution.
It's not just a good idea.
No, it is in the core of me.
Yeah.
And Jesus says to these early disciples, he says this, what do you really desire? And so that's why I go back to this saying of following him. Jesus says, follow me. And Jesus says, come and see. Both of them are saying what? Come with me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come learn from me.
Yeah.
Come spend time with me. And I think that that is so important. If I can, another piece of our discipleship thought is this, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's what I call the four acts of God's redemptive plan. And I grew up in a discipline where all we talked about sometimes was the two acts of God's redemptive plan, and that was the fall and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible gives us four. And this is another big movement in Christianity today. CCO works on this quite desperately with college students. They're saying these are important things. And what they are is they are creation, fall, mm-hmm. redemption, consummation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the total gospel.
Yeah, you don't want to miss consummation.
No, and you don't want to miss creation. Because,
that's right.
In fact, our world has. You know why the problem is there? When we don't see that we're made in the image of God and the value of human life, then we have all these other problems that we face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're trying to teach from this the whole gospel from that perspective, because the creation tells us that we're created in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
Imago Dei is important for us to understand within the way we live, because then it tells us how desperately bad the fall was because we left the image of God.
Wow.
And how important the redemption is because that's when we see God's grace, and when we really look at it, we have to look at it and go, I'm not worthy of that, as Isaiah said when he was in the holy of the throne room of heaven,
mm-hmm.
and he says, woe to me, I'm a sinful man,
mm-hmm.
and I live amongst the people of sin, and my lips are unclean. And then there was that redemptive part of mm-hmm. the seraph coming over and burning his lips with that
yes.
coal. See, when you don't see the woe is me in the fall, you don't understand the power of the redemptive peace that Jesus gives us at the cross.
Very well said. My goodness, that's a powerful picture, and we need the entire scope, all four of those wonderful things. Bob Shetler is my guest. We're just about out of time. Bob, you've got this big event. Give us the details on that one more time, coming up on March the 4th.
March the 4th, Oz Guinness, author, critic, speaker, will be talking to us about 1776, 1789, and the current crisis in America. 7 p.m., you can go to our website, www.floridaleadershipcenter.org, and you can sign up. It's free. Come and join us for this wonderful evening with Oz Guinness.
And then we've got just enough time to talk about the April 15th event. One more time with that.
April 15th at 7 p.m. again, Eastern Time, we will have Ruth Haley Barton, the founder and director of the Transforming Center in Wheaton, Illinois, speaking into the care for our soul in leadership and the difficulty of time that we live now with the COVID crisis. How do I keep my soul strong during these difficult days?
Great stuff. I know you've got another appointment to run off to. Thank you so much, Bob, for being with me here today. And man, it's just always great to see you. Say hello to my Gainesville friends.
I will.
And all the pastors up there. Tell them I love them and I miss them. Thanks so much for being with me. I'll be reporting from the CPAC both Thursday and Friday. Don't miss it right here on The Shepherd.